We'll talk about variant readings in Chester BT codex. I assume there is a mistake in the inventory number. Tobias made his study at the Freie Universität and then worked on the Quranic manuscripts, has been working on Quranic manuscripts with François Desroches and Michael Marx in the joint fundings of the ANR and BFK projects. And the manuscript he will present us today has been in his mind for several years, apparently, because he made a master on the subject in 2012, and studied the IT techniques to study the manuscripts of Dublin. So,
thank you very much for the introduction. Yes, this was the master's thesis in 2012, which is quite a long time ago already. And as you clearly mentioned, in the meantime, I did many other things. For example, adopting the transliteration system, which I developed for my master's thesis, to adopt it. And finally, we were able to produce Eleonore's first volume of the Documenta Coranica series, Codex Amrensis I, which evolved out of the transliteration system. I didn't really look up in the program, but I noticed that it was wrong. It was variants readings somewhere in the title. And in general, anybody who is looking into a long, long list of qira'at that I could have found in this manuscript, I'm very sorry, you won't get a long list. I will just drop two examples and that's it. So it's more about the general and overall features of not only the main signature, which is Chester Beatty Library 1615 Roman 1, and its adjoining fragments. This is just the structure. Okay, we can skip over that. Yeah. Just the main points. First, I will try to show the dimensions, and dimensions in the sense of what kind of fragments are or belong to this codex, which we now have given the virtual call number Codex Amrensis number 9. Secondly, I will show some orthographical features or just some specialities of this codex. Then two examples for variant readings. And as we do not exactly know where and whence it came from, this codex, well, we assume it is from the Fustat Library, but especially but from what time it's coming, some radiocarbon dating results. Okay, beginning with the main part, this is housed in Chester Beatty Library, and due to the fundings of the first joint German-French cooperation project, the Coranica project, we were able to acquire images, and I worked on it, and I also had a possibility to visit the library several times to work on the real object. We have the Roman numeral here because before there were two different manuscripts bound together. They have been now separated again. So the first, the Roman number 1, has four quaternions, so 32 folia, which belong to this Codex Amrensis number 9. And the other part is a later edition. These are four folia, four different ones. I skipped the text span, but I would like to point to the number of lines. Throughout those 32 folia, you find 21 to 26 lines on a page. the mean is quite exactly also then 24 lines. That's the average mean if you put it, if you collect it all together. So it's quite stable. It's 24 minus 2 plus 2. It's quite stable in this part of the text. Here we have a single folium, which is held in a private collection and was published in a Houston catalog of 2007 by David Roxburg. This folium has also 21 to, well, it's just recto verso, so 21 and 23 lines, also quite within the similar text range than just the BT library. A little bit different is this folium, which was the first. I still have it separately here, separately in this list, because in 2008 it was made public via Sotheby's auction. So I could include it in 2012 for my thesis. It's just one folium, a little bit earlier than the Wahid Kurosh fragment. It has 20 and 23 lines, but has a very special line. I will go back to that later. And then we have, in recent years, surfaced some other fragments that are now held in the Museum of Islamic Art in Doha under different signatures. So we have the MS-1668 with 5 folia. And please look at the line numbers. They're a little bit lower, especially MS-69 with 2 folia. It has only 20 or 21 lines, which is quite out of the average. And MS-70 with 6 folia has a range, or that the line number ranges between 17 and 21 lines, which looks a little bit odd compared to the other ones. Yes, and the last signature now, MS-699, is the Sotheby folio. So, as there was an update yesterday, I have only a screenshot of the internal database for Paleo Quran. Anyhow, it wouldn't matter. I couldn't give you a nicer view, because those images are only to be shown if we make them visible. And as we don't have the publishing rights for all those images right now, you would also just see a pretty empty screen and no drawboard with nice images. So just the internal view, where the different fragments are ordered according to their identified text span. And this is the another depiction of the identified text span, where you have the huge, big block, which is the Chester Beatty Library, 32 folia. Then we have the MIA 70 and the Wahid Kurosh part is just one block. Interestingly, the Sotheby or MS-699 page follows directly after the MIA MS-68 folio, so it's directly adjoining, could have been one signature. And very interestingly, here we have a bifolium, the MS-169. It's a bifolium, and it's one of the outer ones of a quaternion. So you are missing the text in between. No, I stay with that. I like to generally, not only for this manuscript, but also for other manuscripts, I like to show a graphical overview of the, you might not see it, but it's just the listing of the surahs down below. I like to show this because if you see a huge distribution of text fragments with a similar script and on similar pages, this is for me it's a strong point that we are really talking about a codex and not just a single fragment held as a private copy. If you have such a huge distribution, which could be sorted like that. The dimensions of the codex. Here you have some, those are the upright ones. You have some early Hijazi codices. It's quite similar to the big The dimensions are quite similar to the Wettstein II, 1913, which is a pretty, well, not really complete, but it's a 83% or 78% codex with an Hijazi script. So it's well fitting into that dimension with a 26 to 36 centimeters. Paleographically, it has not been assigned any special type. Yeah, as I mentioned, it's arranged in quaternions. The other parts are fragmentary, but as you have seen, there is one where you have a bifolium, which was the outer folio of a quaternion. The line numbers vary very strongly between 17 and 26. Why? It's not a very regular copy, not as we have seen from my colleague before, which supposedly is definitely a later copy of the Quranic text, where you have a Kufic style. It's well ordered. The line numbers do not really vary that much. This codex has a non-classified script and seems to be early or not very well made. Here now some examples of the orthography of the codex. I don't know if you can spot it from behind. What I want to talk about is this area, because here we have an autocorrection, which is quite common throughout this manuscript. In the 32 folio of the Chesterbeatty part, there are over 50 spots where the author supposedly has autocorrected himself during writing. So maybe a little bit to answer in these cases, I'm pretty sure it was done by the scribe himself. Or here's another example. Sometimes on a beam it's not so good to see, but if you look at it on your own screen and in high resolution, he was just miswriting and corrected himself. Here you can see the wow, maybe not. Or also typical mistake that comes up throughout this manuscript, the ending, he put the wrong ending there, and so he had to correct it himself, een to un. So, as I mentioned, this happened many times, and the Sotheby's page, I gave you a hint before, is very fascinating that this manuscript page, I don't know of how often it happens in other manuscripts, but has a complete line erased. It's the first line where he was skipping in the text. So in the end, it got completely erased. But it's also, supposedly he had the copyist had a bad day. I don't know. But if you go on, you find a lot of other mistakes. So here we have and later corrections. First correction here, and this small hook was inserted by one of the second or third correctors. And here's the classical one. Throughout the whole manuscript, we have I would not say defective writing, but we would have the writing Qala without an Aleph, which has been corrected by a later scribe. But this manuscript also has forward and backward corrections. So we have, for example, Bilhaq without Aleph, the article Aleph, which later gets inserted and later erased again. So we have backward and forward correction. Still orthography, my colleague Salome Beritze also mentioned it. We have the writing of the proper names. Of this proper name, if I have two instances, I guess two or three definitely two, maybe three instances where the word Daoud or Duat is covered in this manuscript, and both times it's corrected. Yeah, here's the other one. But different correctors, I guess, I would assume. Image quality is not so good, but this was corrected, and this looks almost like the autocorrector, but is for me, this is the second hand. He also uses a pretty similar color and not the blackish that we had just seen with a color correction. Variant readings. This is not really a variant reading, I guess so, but it's just another heavy mistake where in Surah 28, verse 16, he was missing Rab. The complete word was missing. So this one is the black ink. This is the third layer of the manuscript. Had to correct the whole thing and put the Rab in here. Now, real variant readings. The owner, also pretty classical. You'll find it also, you find it already in the seven readings, is up here. The manuscript has chosen, or the writer has chosen, a version which is not to be found in the Hafsan Azim. And now, this should have been the other way around. No, okay. This is the second example, and it's a little bit more interesting example because you will find that Yahissimuna, but you won't find any note with a ta in here, except in... The only idea for this was to be found in Al-Fara, where he designates this to a qira'at of, that's what he mentions, of Ubay ibn Ka'ab. But it's not in the regular span of readings. Okay, orthography versus variant readings. What I showed before were some typical particularities of a manuscript, writing with long aleph, without long aleph. I have the long aleph with the shay as well, so that all those typical archaic scripts, script types you find in this manuscript. So you have a lot of varying letters, you have a lot of inserted letters compared to the Kyrene standard that we all know now. Overwhelmingly, of course, aleph in certain parts, and missing letters also almost 90%. It's the alephs, the long alephs are missing, which is just orthography. And variant. Did I miss one? Yeah. So, what I showed as ideas for designatable or qira'at that you really find in a manuscript, the number is somewhere in the 30s and not in such huge numbers as, that's what I wanted to show, such huge numbers as the orthographic variants in this manuscript. But what does this tell us about the age of the manuscript? Archaic writings, archaic types is the one thing, so it could be very old. It was heavily corrected, could also be very old, but it survived. It's a little bit strange because if you look at some of the other known very old manuscripts that had some heavy mistakes or stronger mistakes, sometimes they get completely erased, which did not happen to this manuscript. So one of the other things I did in between writing the master thesis and now was doing the radiocarbon analysis for many Quranic manuscripts and other manuscripts on parchment and papyrus. So I had the chance, as I mentioned, to visit Chester Beatty Library, and they have, in 2003, they rebound, so they separated the two parts in the Chester Beatty Library and rebound them, and doing that, they had the problem of some loose fragments that they kept in some sleeves, nicely illustrated and documented, from which folio supposedly the loose part was, which could not be fixed back to its original position. And yeah, I have them. I have the probes numbered. Back to those two. Remember those two? Bad ones. So I had five samples. This is a pretty big one where we also did some, well, not me, but the Ira Rabin, from who also works at the CSMC, and BAMF, in Berlin, did ink analysis, so that if we continue with ink analysis on the main part, we might be able to connect it back together to make sure that it's really from that manuscript. Yeah, I had those five samples from the CBL fragment, and voila, c'est le résultat. I won't go deep into the diagram. Main result, if you combine them, which is allowed and should be done if you do multiple samples from a supposedly single object of a cultural, cultural or art historical object, you can combine them. So I get a text range of 591 to 643. Not bad. At first glance, it's a little bit early, but that's not a problem for radiocarbon dating because it's always just a text span that's interesting. It's no fixed date. What you can see, it's the precision of this combined result is already 7. This might be an indication that it's getting to be overcorrect, because the if you have a number below 10, you are in a range which is, it seems to be correct, but it's just overcorrect. You can't, the measurement is not exact enough, so you cannot use it. Distribution of the results, yeah. Samples 38 and 39 are outliers. That's why I said, look at those. I will come back to that in a second. Here I compare it to the other dated manuscripts we did with the Quranica, with the funding of Quranica. It's the Sana'a palimpsest and the 29 from Sana'a. This is the Berlin one, which is connected to some other 30 folia in Cairo. This is the Tübingen manuscript, which has also a very nice precise date. Here we have Leiden, and well, here's the Chester Beatty one. This result would put it in first place of all those manuscripts dated. The green line is 632. I can't believe it, and as I mentioned, it's not just a diagram you get if you use those calibration programs. You also get things like that. And I won't go into detail, but it's just doing the chi quadrat test, or chi square test, I don't know. Chi quadrat test is a statistical test which looks into, if you have more than one sample that you combine, is it okay, does it fit? And if it says, nope, chi quadrat test fails, that means within those 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever, number of samples, there is at least one that is completely out of range and cannot fit in there by statistical methodology. It's pretty clear to see that these are the single dates of those five samples I did. So it's even better to see here. It's clearly that this is the probe number 38 is, there's no overlap with the rest of the other single tests. And even the 39, the second one, is also too far away from the mean of the other three. So, what can we do? This is the original five sample version. This is leaving out the two not fitting ones. Haha, I make my own decisions on it. Those three together work. The other two don't work together with the other three, so all five together don't work, and even the two themselves, they don't also don't work together. Do we know how old it is? Oh, I let it there. I don't know. But what I would recommend, and it was the first within the whole series of more than 100 or 120 datations where we had such an issue from one single object. But remember, those single objects were loose fragments from, they were not taken like in other manuscripts where I directly could cut something out of a page. This is the first occasion that we have a problem with that one or two of the samples do not fit together with the other one. My first answer to the problem would be, and maybe we have the opportunity in the future that we could do a real testing or a beta testing, which means I'm allowed to really cut something, maybe of one of the MIA pages, to corroborate this, or to maybe to contradict the result. And you need more than one sample. If you just had the one wrong sample here, you would have a real strange result. If you have more than two, three, five, you can decide and you can weigh them, or can consider other circumstances and investigate into them. And that was me. And any questions, welcome, but maybe not too long. And if you want to know more about the Kira art, my colleague is eager to answer your questions.
Thank you.